Confidence, heart, and desire are all attributes athletes need to reach their potential. And at Draco Impact Sports, we want to help you achieve that potential. Draco offers you the highest quality training and protective gear suited for all level of athletes. We pride ourselves on the durability and comfort of our products, and once you try them on, you'll know exactly what everybody's talking about. When it matters the most, both in and out of the ring, you can always count on Draco. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Draco Sports for product information and contest giveaways. Or visit us online at www.dracosports.com. Draco Impact Sports. Dominate your world.
Pro-Am Championship Belt, who have the highest quality championship belt with the lowest prices. Replace those old trophies with stock belts on hand that they can customize for as low as $30. Any occasion, celebrations, awards, championship, fantasy leagues, gifts, plus wrestling, mixed martial arts, boxing. If you need championship belts, check them out. Pro-Am Championship Belts, ProAmBelts.com. Look them up on Facebook, Pro-Am Belts. Trust me, nothing says cool like Pro-Am.
A company always on the run. Destiny, oh, it's the rising sun. I was born a shotgun in my hands, behind the gun, I'll make my final.
They call me Bad Company. I will deny Bad. report to the main gate. We are about to unleash the cycle.
Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinched.com. Again, that's GetClinched.com for all of your mouth guard needs.
MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Intimidation Clothing, Valley Auto, All Out Fight Shop, Ink Tank Tattoo, Game Changer Clothing, Hype Fight Store, Bushido.ca, GFL.tv, Rear Naked Smoke, Pro-Am Belts, Vision Smoke Shop, Big T's Nightclub, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Triumph Fitness, Central Oregon Trike, Crossroader Clothing, and Jax Media.
All right, everybody. Welcome to MMA Madhouse Live. Oh, it has been a long day. We're sorry we're running a little late. I guess we got tied up in this fight. I got pulled into it because people are idiots and don't know how to tell a fight from a wrestling match. But let's get my partner in crime in here so we can talk about the lackadaisical performance by this guy, man. Oh, it's horrible.
Selection. Check out this selection right here.
Where you from?
Critically acclaimed, lyrically acclaimed, self-proclaimed. Nobody calls me nothing except for your mother after she spurts your monkey ass.
What's up, killer? How you doing?
I'm doing good, brother. What's going on tonight, man?
Got a big show. Big
yes.
Show.
Yes, I'm excited. Actually, before we went on air, I jumped over to check out, you know, what everybody was talking about this first round of this Kennedy Bisping fight. And I'm telling you what, Bisping wanted a fight to be standing, but he's, you know, until the last 30 seconds, I really haven't seen him taking advantage of the time that he's had in the center of the cage. A bunch of feints, you know, and a bunch of dancing around. He wasn't getting in there and hitting combos, finishing up, you know, just dirty style, man. I mean, to me, he's not even beating him on the feet.
I think it's more the stand-up exchanges. I mean, he's a little more active, and he's more, you know, he's got better movement for sure.
Yeah,
and I think the reason he's not really throwing combos right now is because, you know, he's worried about Kennedy and the takedown, which, I mean, I think is pretty legitimate reason, but I definitely agree he should be engaging more and definitely taking more advantage of the time they are on the feet because he's got a lot of ground to make up.
Dude, yeah, I mean, he's controlling the center of the octagon. I mean, do something with it. I personally don't think he looks near as tired as Kennedy does.
Nah, man, Bisping, I think Bisping might be the most in-shape fighter in MMA.
Because, I mean,
if you were to go off his resting heart rate, if you were to go off resting heart rates, I'm almost positive that there's nobody in better condition than Michael Bisping. I think his sits somewhere like around 51 beats a minute or something, 41 beats a minute. It's something, dude. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, I
don't understand, dude. Have you noticed how in this fight how Bisping always, like, he likes to, like, rub his left eye a lot? Like, he rubs his hand over his left eye, like, a whole bunch. This whole fight, that's one thing I've noticed him do consistently.
Maybe he has an injury or something.
Well, I can't remember which one of his eyes was messed up, if it was his left or his right, but I'm assuming it was the left, because he just did it again right there.
Oh, see, now that's how
I can't tell. Maybe it's his hair. This is going to be a split decision, I bet. I bet a lot of judges right now have this fight 2-2. Oh, come on, Bisping. Get your ass up, you sumbitch. Now, one thing that Kennedy's done really well in this fight is that he shoots in on this single and he's able to drop down and then, like, get a body lock almost every time. Like, I don't understand why Bisping hasn't figured out how to stop that. That's what he does. He, like, does a little knee tap, gets inside, grabs a body lock, and then stands up into a fucking takedown. It's been pretty sweet.
Hey, what
I mean, Kennedy,
was,
you know, Kennedy deserves to win the fight, I mean, so far at this point.
Oh, from what I've seen, I agree. Well, we're talking about MMA, since that's what this show's all about. What do you think about Sparta coming to Everett, Washington? That's pretty sick.
Hey, I mean, whatever, man.
I love it, dude. More and more leagues getting out of their own region to put on shows. I love it. I think it's great. It gives these guys another platform for pros to fight on, as well as amateurs.
Oh, I agree, you know. My only concern is, like, how did they coordinate the date, and did they look at other events that are already scheduled, or are they just trying to come in and be like, we don't really care about the local scene? You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, we can talk to Jeff about that. We can just book a show with him, have him come on and talk to us about it. How, you know, what was their decision behind it and their planning, and, you know, he'll tell us. He'll be like, dude, I came there to kick everyone's ass and show them how it's really done.
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of friends that put on cards up there, so.
Oh, I can't disagree more. We know a lot of people, but it's nice to see a league that's been so successful in Colorado be able to travel out here, just like Bama coming up, or, you know, WCF coming up, or WFC.
See, it would make more sense to me if Sparta was to come to Oregon. I mean, dude, there's not a lack of shows in Washington. That's what I'm saying is, like, are the locals going to really buy tickets to this event? You know,
well, yeah,
is the local audience going to support an outside entity coming into their area? In Oregon,
it's
like a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer because there's no shows, dude. So people are like, oh, there's an MMA show? I don't care who's putting it on.
Yeah, but if they're putting on local pros and local amateurs, they're going to sell tickets like they would any other show.
Well, then we run into the situation that WFC has encountered in the South.
Well, that's very, very, very true. That is something, you know, that could happen.
That's, like,
you know?
That's kind of what I'm leaning at, you know. Like, that's kind of what I'm hinting at here.
Well, I can't disagree with you. You know, I mean, we've seen it happen. I mean, it happens. But I think, honestly, I think they're going to do well.
Now, if they're going to do Colorado, like, are they going to bring half the card with them from Colorado? Because, dude, if they do that and they go up against Washington guys, that is a winning situation. Like, bring eight dudes, find eight dudes, match these dudes all up and let them throw down and, like, just have a Colorado versus Washington night. And then set up Colorado versus Oregon.
I'm assuming that, you know, knowing Jeff and the way he does his cards, especially because this is that big military veterans card deal, you know, Army versus Marines or whatever that deal is. I don't remember the two
forces.
Is that
the event that he's going to do up there?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the support the troops event that he's doing, that one he does down in Colorado.
Yeah.
He was at, you know, they hit him up. They wanted him to do one of his promotions here, so he rented out that whatever.
Well,
the compact center.
He told me the whole story, dude. I'm, like, sitting here thinking he's just coming out to put on an event. Like, he's just, like,
no,
threw a dart at the map and it landed on Washington.
No,
like,
this is
I'm going to Washington, bro.
No, those people at the Fort McLean or whatever it is.
Fort Lewis McChord. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lewis
those
McChord
people,
Joint Military Base or something.
Those people asked him to do the event.
Ed, are you
Hold
ready?
On.
Are you ready to go?
Yeah,
are you ready
let's
to
see
go?
Who it is.
All right. We don't need to see. I already know. I can tell by the number.
Hey, welcome to Madhouse Live.
Hey,
how you doing
time,
tonight?
It's time. Dude, there ain't no, don't even, man. It's time for the urban legend to join us right now. Chris Coley, what's going on, bro?
How you guys doing? I'm just chilling, man. How you guys, what are you guys up to?
Just hanging out, man.
Yeah, I'm at the gym right now, and I was like, I forgot to call the Madhouse guys. I almost forgot.
What, you got another kickboxing class you're teaching tonight? I know that's been keeping you super busy, man, in this little lull of action for you.
Yeah, well, I got one of my students Alvaro Mangano, he's running classes for me tonight, so I'm going to take a break.
Now, is that Skywalker, or is Skywalker somebody different?
Yeah, that's Skywalker.
Dude, so can you talk about this guy, or do you want to keep it on the down low?
I'll give a little bit. He's been he's 22 now, and I've been training him since he was about 16. And I just kind of been sitting on him as far as, like, putting him out there in the local scenes and just taking him around, training, and, you know, taking him to different camps and giving him different looks. And this year we're going to unleash him.
How excited are you? Are you more excited for that or for one of your upcoming fights?
I'm way more excited for that. Believe it or not, he gives me a really hard time in sparring now, especially. And he's a southpaw as well, and he's fast. He's aggressive. So he's a guy to watch. He's a guy to keep your eye on, especially this year coming up.
And I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm really looking forward to that. But more importantly, I'm looking forward to what you've got coming up. I know since we talked to you last, you kind of gone back to your roots a little bit.
Yeah, I did some Muay Thai, man. I lost a whack decision. I fought a guy in his backyard, and they gave him a split. But it was fun, man, to go out there and actually fight full rules Muay Thai, and it was really good just to go out there and reconnect with those fans and that culture, you know?
Do you like that aspect more than the MMA, or is MMA really, like, what you enjoy?
Well, I'm just a martial arts nerd, but I do enjoy the Muay Thai environment more. It's a bit more respectful, and you know, no matter who the opponent is or where they train at, you're going to go home with some bumps, bruises, maybe stitches, so it's always fun.
Are you? Would you say that a Muay Thai fight may be harder on the body than an MMA fight?
Yeah, depending on the type of MMA fighter you fight, if you're fighting more of a striker, it could be neck and neck. If you're fighting more of like a grinder, I think MMA might be a little bit more exhausting. But as far as injury aspects, I think Muay Thai might be, I would say, a couple notches tougher, because even when you block or defend, you're still taking damage, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. I'm sorry?
Go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I said, my coach calls it human chicken. To go out there, human chicken, and see who breaks first. So that's an
interesting. So, with the Muay Thai fights, would you ever like to travel overseas and do one in one of the stadiums?
For sure. I'm always hounding my manager to maybe look at like a Super Combat or just something I can kind of like broaden the horizons and get out there, man. I'm a big fan of like all the World Championship kickboxing shows and Glories that's kind of like my childhood dream.
We need to get a fundraiser going for you to get you a plane ticket to
introduce Chris to Cyrus.
I know
the ring announcer for Super Combat,
and I know the matchmaker. Oh, I know the matchmaker, yeah. and we know the ring announcer. But I was thinking with the new heroes, you know, they're doing the qualifiers and the tryouts three more times this year. So we should see what we could do to get like some kind of push to get everyone to, you know, help get a trip for him over there to try out. Plus Contenders, which is Super Combat's little sister league they just bought up in the UK and Ireland. And then,
uh-huh.
I mean, they're doing tryouts as well right now. So, I mean,
wow.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, dude, we're going to have to see what we can do to help you get over, because you named it. I love Super Combat. I'm a huge fan of theirs. So is LaBoxing.
Yeah, their shows are just, it's always I call them Bang Fest, man. It's nonstop action, and that's the type of fighting I want to be a part of, you know?
What did you think about Spong and Saki?
Oh, man, I was, from a fighter's point of view, man, I was just like, it was just sad to see, because, you know, that's the king of the ring. That's the guy who's been putting down for a long time, and to see him not win a championship by injury kind of hurt. Up until that point, I think it was a really, really good fight. I hate seeing Spong lose, but I'm a big Saki fan too, so I had like mixed emotions.
I agree.
Yeah, the same here, man. It was that's not the way any of us wanted to see that fight end, for sure. I mean, we waited 5 years to get the rematch, and
right.
That was just the wrong way for it to go down.
Yeah, those every time I see a leg check break, it never gets easier. Especially being a striker, I'm like, oh man, I got to make sure these guys aren't checking kicks. But it's a freak accident. I think it's just happening more and more because guys are finally catching on to, hey, if I check a kick, I won't take as much damage, you know?
Yeah. Well, and honestly, it's probably more prevalent right now because of social media and television contracts, because it does happen in Thailand, more often than we see or know about. I mean, there's, injuries with broken bones. There was that, the 66-kilogram eight-man tournament in France like 2 weeks ago, and one of the guys had his forearm broke, trying to block a kick, So... it happens because that's the sport you guys choose to play in. There's injuries, I just because obviously Anderson and who his name was and Tyrone and who his name was and the television deals behind it, it's not that abnormal as people think.
Right. Yeah, I remember as a kid, I was probably like 17 or 18 when it was Brian Gasaway and Jose Landy Johns. That was the first time I ever seen anything like that. I remember it was a fight that I decided to watch with my mom. I was like, yeah, Mom, look at this, because I thought Brian Gasaway was a good guy to watch, And
yeah.
And then Pele threw the kick and his leg snapped in two. I was like, nope, you need to think about college or the military. That's not what we're doing.
That was a bad one, too, man. I remember that one, man. That was a pretty nasty one.
Yeah. It's a scary thing. I know a lot of guys at Millennia. They're really big on checking their kicks now because they'd rather be the guy doing the damage than receiving it.
Dude, for sure. Have you heard any word on any upcoming MMA fights?
Right now we're in talks with Tachi. Of course, Bama. Bama's looking for some guys for me to defend my belt against. And,
maybe in the weekend of the 14th in June?
Uh-huh.
That would be a great
weekend. That's what I'm hoping
for.
You.
Yeah, because we'd like to see you come up to Oregon with Bama to the Seven Feathers Casino and defend your title so you could do it in our backyard and we can watch you work.
Yeah, that's the game plan. I've been talking to Brett, and I was like, hey, man, we got a lot of – because my kickboxing coach knows a lot of the Team Quest guys out there. And I was like, we got a kind of an extended family out there, man. I want to go out there and fight, And he's just trying to make sure it makes sense,
No, I understand 100%. I mean, he's known for putting on great fights. The whole organization is, and he, especially going out of state, he wants it to be a good matchups and good card. And I understand that, but I'll tell you what, I think there's a couple of guys in the Pac Northwest that you might match up well against. So hopefully you guys can get something worked out, and we can see you up here on the weekend of the 14th. Because I tell you what, me and Lapaki'd love to have you come up here and fight in Oregon.
Yeah, man. I last time I talked to Brad, I told him, I said, man, I just want to fight. And he goes, there's a lot of wrestlers in Oregon. I was like, I guess we got to go to Oregon. And then, you guys leaked it before Brett told me about the fights up there. And then I said, yeah, man, I heard you're having Bama fights in Oregon. He goes, who told you? I was like, the MMA Madhouse guy. He's like, oh. I was like, yeah, man. So, yeah, I actually would like to fight more than just in California. A lot of the guys out here already, know me, and And especially after you fight a team of bears and then you cross-train, it gets really hard to find fights in Southern California.
Dude, it's so funny, Chris, because the first night I was talking to Chris Lamelli about them coming up here, I was like, what would be great is if you guys let Chris Tully defend his title at Seven Feathers. I was like, that would be super awesome, man. And he's like, we're going to see, He's like, we'd love to have him fight, too. And I'm like, awesome.
Yeah. I think it's because right now, man, to be honest, even coming off a loss, and a lot of guys out here are still, they'll say they want to fight, and they'll go to social media and say they want to fight. And when it gets time to sign the contract, they're ghosts. So I'm just kind of sitting on the bench waiting for some opposition.
How frustrating is that?
It really is, because I still have to stay ahead of the curve. I still have to be, I have to stay ready. I have to stay relevant on top of making sure that I'm not falling behind, because, every 2 weeks somebody's coming up with either a new submission or a transition or pass or combination. And You don't want to be that guy who's out for 6 months and then goes back and just gets outclassed because he wasn't ready, you know? That's my big frustration is I want to stay ready. And I think the only way to do that is to stay competing, stay active.
Yeah, I think it's really cool that Bama will let you look at a fight with Tachi and stuff like that while being their champ.
Yeah, Brett, he's super cool, man. And we have a really close relationship. And I just told him, man, I was like, yo, I got an offer to fight a really tough guy who, you know, I've seen Poppy fight a few times. And I told Brett I want to fight the best. And if the opportunity presents itself, especially, you know, coming from a losing record to where I am now, I was like, yo, I kind of owe it to myself to take it. And we talked. He tried to talk me out of it. I talked him into it. And you know, he always has my back. He's a really good guy, so he supported it.
So, you know, with your, you know, being able to take a little bit of Thai fights and trying to work on this, you know, are you spending even more time focusing on the fighters there, or have you stepped back a little bit to work more on your career?
I'm kind of doing a juggling act, man. I'm kind of at like a crossroads, to be honest. I have a lot of really talented guys who I train with, and like I call them my training partners, and they call me coach. It's funny. But then on top of that, I'm getting offers for fights for Muay Thai. I get offers for MMA fights, so it's kind of like a juggling act. And to be honest, man, I'm just trying to stay relevant. You know, you don't want to be that. Nobody wants to be that guy who has a good run, takes the loss, and disappears for a year, you know? That's the hardest part, man, is just making sure that nobody forgets you. You got to keep moving.
Well, and let's be honest, that's an important part is the fan base of your sport. That's what gets you bigger fights, bigger paychecks, you know, bigger promotions, bigger regions. But with all that said, if you were to get a contract right now overseas somewhere and knowing that, you know, it's going to be a completely different atmosphere and a different fight league, you know, to what you're used to in California, would you be willing to go that route for a year or two and just fight overseas and not fight in the U.S.?
Yeah, to be honest, I had a conversation recently with Savant Young about some fights in China. And I think it'll be a good start, man. I've got a pretty good like little following here in SoCal and opening the gym, and I have a lot of fighters doing well. So I think, you know, maybe try something different. Go overseas, hit the international market, man. And like my coach Craig said, you can't really call yourself a legend until you travel over the seas. So that's the goal of mine.
Dude, Skippy, isn't Guan Wong featherweight?
Yeah.
This is the bantamweight. Dude, what about Chris versus Guan Wong?
That's the guy they threw at me for Ruff.
Really?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Do that, man. Because hey. Joel and Brandon are two of the coolest dudes that we talk to.
Oh, yeah. Dude, we do live. Look, we do a live show at the hotel.
I'm posting that right now.
Yeah. Dude, live show with them before the last event, before Rough 12, at the hotel with the fighters as they were leaving to go to the event. I mean, our logo's there in the as one of the sponsors. We love, I mean, we're huge fans of Rough. And I'm going to tell you personally, from knowing them so well, if you've got an offer, take it. Trust me. You will be so happy in the long run. With the fighter seminars that come with your fights, you know, all the fighters are brought in. They bring in, you know, different fighters to do seminars for just you guys on that card. Just all kinds of, you know, obviously the travel, the experience. But those fans would fall in love with you so quick. Oh, man, yeah. We got to get that out there. Make sure you tag that up, Lepaki.
I'm already posting it, bro.
Oh,
yeah. I grew up watching Savant Young, so he's kind of like one of the guys I go to whenever I have, like, you know, career advice, fight advice, anything, you know? And he was like, yo, baby bro, I got this fight in China, man, I need a 45er. And he sent me the name, and I was like, you know what, I think that's a fight I need right now. The kid's tough, and he's fast, he's aggressive, and I was like, yo, that's the type of fight I like, man. And so now, right now, we're working on if I can get my passport and visa in time. done, and then that might be the next move.
So rough 13 we could possibly see you on.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, that would be badass.
Yeah.
I'm super stoked now.
Yeah, on a like a top secret note, like I already told like my students, I haven't told my lady yet. I'm pretty sure when she finds out I'm going to China, she's gonna punch me in the throat. But I might as well do it. I mean,
you would just love the experience, the stadium, the atmosphere, the fans. The fight itself obviously is beneficial to your career. He is a great young man, very tough. I think it's a great matchup. I hope to see it. And, I mean, it's going to be good for you all the way around. And you go and impress, and you sign a couple of fight deal, you'll be the happiest camper because they'll keep you busy.
Hell, yeah. And that's what I'm looking for, man. Like you guys touched on, man, there's nothing like traveling and fighting abroad. And all my teammates, like Georgie Carhan and Daryl Monning, you were like, dude, just do it. Like, they fought in Japan, and like, yo, it's – You gotta get overseas. You just gotta do it once, you know.
Imagine, dude, you're gonna get paid to go to China, do what you love, and get an experience that you may not have ever got if it wasn't for, you know, your love of mixed martial arts.
Right. Yeah.
I think it's awesome, man. I tell so many young fighters that's what, like, I mean, just go and fight in South Africa and Poland and wherever, like, the world takes you, man. Because it's like, you know. It's not always about fighting in Las Vegas. I mean, how many times can you go fight in Las Vegas?
Right. Yeah, and then my whole, I have like a whole mission statement in life is to be awesome enough to make a video game or to like live like I'm in Bloodsport, and I think that's a really close, really close to the second one on the bucket list.
Dude, that would be badass.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's funny. I was just talking and debating about it maybe like 45 minutes before I called. And I was like, I didn't think you guys would know.
Do it. Just do it. We will never give you bad advice. All we'll do is try to give you the best advice we can and you know, let you weigh your own options for your own life and career. But I'm going to tell you right now, this is a smart, smart choice.
Well, I guess I got some weight cutting to do.
What's the hardest part about the weight cut for you, Chris?
Before it was like getting my diet and everything in check, because I'm a fat boy at heart, man. I love Mountain Dew and candy bars, and so when they told me I couldn't have that stuff for like 8 to 12 weeks, I looked at them like, are you crazy? What's wrong with you? But now it's just, now I don't really have a problem, man. I know my body a lot better now. I'm getting older, so when I wake up and I'm like at 156, I know I'm having a good cut if it's like a couple weeks out, you know? But if I wake up and I'm at like 162, I know I got to get on the ball.
with you cutting weight, if you're able to travel to the next rough event, which is rough 13, if you're able to take this fight and everything works out the way we hope it does for us fans, now would you hop on the plane knowing that they fly the fighters in usually Tuesday or Wednesday? Most of the fighters come in. That would give you Thursday and then weigh-ins Friday. Would you try to be as close to weight as possible before you get on the plane, or would you try to shed the last bit the day and a half you're in China?
Well, I'd probably be at weight, man, when I got on the plane. My last couple fights, I weighed in under 145, and my management was telling me, hey, man, if you can get to 35, you'd be like Godzilla. I think I'm going to if I wasn't like a pound over, I'd be on weight.
Okay, cool. Cool.
How hard would it be for you to get to 135, you think?
135 now, because, you know, I'm not 19 no more, man. So 135 now would probably feel like a cut back in the day. You know, I'd probably have to sit in a sauna with the sauna suit and covered in all types of oils and greases for a while. But I think I could make, if I got down to like 43, I could probably make 145 or 135 within like 2-3 days of the weigh-ins, you know? Wouldn't be too hard. I really don't believe in telling yourself to cut, I believe, in dieting down. And, you know, I like to use the water trick, overhydrating, and then just sweating it all out the last day, you know, instead of not eating and sitting in a sauna covered in Vaseline. But if that's what has to be done, that's what has to be done, you know?
Yep. Well, I tell you, it's, you know, it's great to have you back, you know, and not only that, to drop that kind of news. I mean, you know, we love having you on. We're big fans, obviously, of your fighting, and I really, brother, I hope that happens for you. I really do.
Yeah, man, I'm a push for it. I'm just hoping that my passport comes in time. If it does, and then I'm gonna be there with bells on, ready to engage another war. Hopefully, create another classic.
Well, I know that.
Yeah, I can't wait till the interview in the hotel lobby that night, right before the fight with you.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. Oh,
yeah.
Dude, last time, I'll be honest, we had a blast. It was so much fun. The Russian translator was the best of them all. But, dude, the Muay Thai guy who fought, I'm drawing a blank, he was a fun interview, too. And, see, that's something that's really cool, because if you go over and, you know, you might have time to hit up a local gym or you know, grapple with some of the other guys on the card, you know, that's going to be really cool, man. I hope we see you here as well, but I'm not going to lie, if the cards are close to each other, take the rough China one.
Yeah, I'm going to push for the rough China, man, and hopefully I can get score some fights there, and when I get back I have some more have some opposition so I can finally defend my belt. I mean, I want to just defend my belt already. It's just sitting here collecting dust. And I want somebody to challenge me for it.
Where's
and,
the funnest place you've worn the belt to outside the house?
Funnest place I've worn it outside? Probably the next day, man, when my stepson came home, because he fell asleep before the fight. And so he was looking for me, and I was hiding in a closet with the belt, and I jumped out and scared him. But he wasn't even scared. He was like, is that real gold? So he was comparing it to Randy Orton from WWE's belt. And it looked like Randy Orton's belt. Yeah, it was kind of like Randy Orton's belt.
Well, just so we don't run out
Chris,
of time.
Chris, didn't you also just have a belt promotion here in like the last couple months?
Yeah, I finally got my jiu-jitsu purple belt, man. It was like 4 years of me getting beat up by my coach, Marcelo, and all my teammates at Millennia. And yeah, they finally gave it to me, man. You know, that's probably still one of my greatest honors, because when I first started fighting, man, I hated grappling, jiu-jitsu, anything that had to do with it. And then it just kind of, you know, it's kind of absorbed into me, and I love it now. I couldn't picture life without rolling in the morning.
Yeah, I thought I remembered that happening, man. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Skippy, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was going to say, before we run out of time, I want to make sure he has a chance. Man, shout-outs. Any social media, sponsors, gym, your neighbor, whoever you want to shout-out to.
Yeah, well, first off, my lady, so she doesn't punch me in the head. Sean, I love you. Creative Minds and Visions, they take care of me. Angel Rock and Sand, another company that takes care of me. And Millennium Mixed Martial Arts and Cali Fighter Victorville, my gym here in Victorville, California, and all my 760 people.
Now, back to now we got all the business to take down. We got a couple, like 4 minutes left with you. What have you been doing for fun lately? You getting out and doing anything?
Man, really, my I'm a nerd, man, so my fun right now is trying to make my fighters as beastly as possible. I've been doing a lot of research, having a lot of pad holding sessions with my coach, and just chopping down a lot of techniques, so I'm really anxious for Skywalker to fight, so that's my free time, is kind of turning him into a creative player, and it's working. Beyond that, now that Walking Dead's over, my life is kind of like incomplete. I have to do myself. It fills a void to a point, but I'm glad Joffrey's dead. Other than that, I'm just at the gym all day.
Dude, that was crazy, huh? When Joffrey got off this weekend.
Yeah, and you know, I know it sounds like I feel like a girl talking about like a reality show. But I was like, finally, damn, somebody killed this kid. Jeez.
Yeah, Do you think that Stark's daughter did it?
I think his wife did it personally. I think there's probably like some type of secret medieval Illuminati thing going on to take over the crown on that end. Because I think Stark's daughter is too soft. And the midget, man, he didn't do it. So I think it was his lady.
That's my other thought too, man. It's one or the other.
Yeah.
Shoot, well, brother, man. We really appreciate you taking the time, Chris, to join us tonight, man, and step out of practice there for a little bit, man. Look forward to seeing you hopefully here or at Rough 13 would be awesome, man, either way. The selfish part of me wants to see you live in Oregon, but, like, I think Rough would just be super awesome too.
Yeah, well, what I'll do is I'll make sure I'll put that in the bucket list, man. I'll get out to Oregon. I'll tell Brett, like, I need to get out to Oregon to fight. And
Have Brett send you up here, and then you could tap Lepaki 4 or 5 times on the mat, and we'll call that a good day.
There you go.
And
if Lepaki taps in, we can't tell nobody. It's going to happen.
That's right.
You got to find a gag order.
Hey, man, Chris, go enjoy the rest of your night, with your kids in the gym and everything, man. And thank you once again, brother. And keep us apprised on this, which fight we're going to see you at.
For sure. I'll let you guys know.
Awesome, man. Thanks, Chris.
No problem. You guys have a good one.
Later.
Later.
Man, always a great guest. Always kills it. I can't believe he's got a chance to go to Rough, Lepaki. That is sweet.
Hell yeah, it was. Thanks, Yearn, man. We appreciate the compliment, brother. Thank you very much. Yeah, dude, how crazy was that, man? I'm like, Guan Wong. He's like, yeah, that's the guy they want me to fight.
Yes! Yes! yeah. No, that was, you talk about us just consistently breaking news on our shows, man. That's just how we do it.
Well, I like how he goes, I called Brad about this fight, and he's like, how'd you hear about that? Oh, the Madhouse guys.
He's
probably like, fuck, man, I told these guys to be quiet.
Yeah, no doubt. But he told us on the show, and I told him I was going to post it, so.
Sorry, Carl, I just dropped 2 F-bombs, I know.
Well, we're getting better. We're getting better, and that ESPN deal falls through. We're really going to have to focus.
I know. Well, at least they were right next to each other, so you can just go.
Just yeah.
And there weren't any during the interview, so there weren't any during the interview, so that's good too.
No, I agree that that was a beautiful. Beautiful interview. It went well. Smooth. It's great to hear what he's doing.
Dude, what about this next interview we got lined up? This guy is always killing it when he comes on.
It's almost time, huh?
Yeah, dude. We got like about 2 minutes till we call Dale. Dale Cook, everybody out of Tulsa. You know, Apollo's there at 51st and Mingo. The promoter for XFN. The greatest action movie star in the history of acting. Where'd you go?
I'm right here. You just stopped in the middle of your sentence.
Oh.
The greatest actor ever.
I was surprised that you weren't cutting me off there, so I didn't know what to do.
Actually, we know he's done some great movies, stuff that we definitely
enjoy. Dude. Yes.
Plus, he's just had he's got a killer, fight career, killer league. I mean, just everything. He's just a stud. He's the Chuck Norris and Chuck Norris of our life.
Yes, dude, I would totally agree with that.
You know, I mean,
10-3 on the night's UFC card. That's not too bad.
Yeah, no. Folks, he's a black belt and I believe karate, and like isn't he some like ridiculous number, like 8, 9, 7 degreed black belt in taekwondo too? He's some high up.
It's retarded.
Yeah, some that.
What was his record?
Like
95? What was it like 95 and something?
He was 94-4 and 1.
Yeah.
94 4-1. That means basically he went on 20 fight streaks throughout his whole career.
That's just awesome. Insane. Are you going to call him up? Why don't you call him up?
We're dialing right now. Funny, the other night I called the wrong number on Boyd's show and we left a message.
Hello?
Hey, Dale, how you doing?
Hey, I'm all right. Who's this?
This is Rob and Skippy at MMA Madhouse.
Perfect. I was expecting your call.
Excellent, excellent. So you're not at the poker table right now?
No, I took a break from that. I came down to have a couple of beers, which is exactly what I need to do to be on this show.
Yes, that's a very good statement. That is a very good statement. Were the cards sliding the right way tonight?
Actually, I wasn't playing tonight. I've actually just got back from Istanbul, and I'm still off on my time. So I'm sleeping during the day and awake all night.
How was the trip? I know that the fight maybe didn't go how you and Randy wanted, but overall, how was the trip?
It was great because Glory is a first-class company, and they treat their athletes tremendously. We got there early, had a great time, had great opportunity to acclimate, and but the trip home is never fun when you lose.
That's true.
What was the mood like in the arena at the conclusion of the main event?
Well, right up until Spong broke his leg, it was pretty electric because, Turkey is Saki's home country, and they packed the arena. It was about a 6,000-seater, and it was full, and they were behind their man, and it turned out the way everybody wanted it, that Spong and Saki faced each other in the final. Very shocking and disappointing ending for everybody, especially Tyrone Spong.
Yeah, it was definitely not the way any of us wanted to have that fight end. And I thought that Gokensaki showed a whole world of class there after the leg break.
Oh, I agree with you on that. He sure did, and that was good for his image, but it was also good for the sport of kickboxing. And that's not how anybody wants to win a championship, and I'm sure that Spong will be back, and we'll see those guys bang it out in the future.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is more recognized now because of the amount of television viewing that's available to people, and so they're just seeing the leg breaks more often?
I think so. I mean, honestly, I'm thinking in my mind how many fights I've seen, and that's only the third time I've ever seen that happen. I saw Dennis Alexio break his leg like that years ago against Stan Longinaitis in Australia, and then we saw Anderson Silva do it, and then this one. But I think there's a message there, man, and that is you just don't load up heavy, heavy, low kicks against somebody that knows how to block. You got to be a little wiser when you pick your spots to load up. And, if you're fighting a boxer or a PKA guy that does no low kicks, sure, just go to town, swing as hard as you can. But this guy's been schooled on low kicks, blocking. You got to trick him to kick him. You can't just load up and swing. And that's certainly what happened in both of those cases. And I hope we never see that again.
Yeah, that's I think the fourth time I've seen it. I've only seen it once in person, but it was one of the nastiest things I've seen. I mean, I can't imagine. I bet that sounded like a shotgun going off when that happened with Spong.
Oh, it did, but when the guy replants his leg and it bends in half, that's the grossest part. That's the hardest part to watch.
Well, enough of that, man. You've got a super awesome card this weekend going down in Tulsa there, and you've got a pretty big guest there with the welterweight champ coming in.
Oh, that's pretty special. You know, my relationship with Johnny runs pretty deep, and I was honored to promote his first fight ever on national TV when we did Access TV used to be called HGNet, and we did a show there. It was really the launch of all the Team Takedown guys, including Jake Groeschelt. And Johnny won that night, and now to see him as the champion is pretty satisfying for me as a promoter, and I'm pretty honored to, you know, for him to give his first public appearance, his first guest appearance since winning the belt to us back here in Tulsa. I think that's pretty cool, pretty classy of him. But yeah, he's the big draw coming home to Tulsa, and he's a pretty gracious guy. I think the fans will turn out pretty strong for him on Friday night at River Spirit Event Center.
I think the fans are going to turn out pretty heavy for your, I believe, the ninth fight, the co-main, the featherweight fight going down in the kickboxing division.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, Jarrett Rouse is a pretty exciting fighter. He's from Dewey, Oklahoma, and they call him the Legacy, and they call him that for a reason. His mother was a world kickboxing champion, and he's trying to carry on that legacy, and he gets his first shot at a pro title on Friday night. And he's in there with a very tough guy, and Aaron Roberson, a tough, tough guy who's mostly been fighting MMA, but his striking is phenomenal. I think it's a great test for Jarrett Rouse, and whoever comes out of that one victorious is worthy of that championship. But you're right, being that Jarrett's from just up the road, Dewey, Oklahoma, he'll have a huge turnout on Friday night to cheer him on, and we wish him all the best, but I take nothing away from his opponent. Aaron Roberson's a killer.
But, you know, it's interesting when we've seen, especially recently, a lot of guys who are pro MMA fighters now stepping into the kickboxing, boxing, and Muay Thai realm to stay busy and stay active. And I've seen personally a couple guys who, you know, wow, you know, you're like, why are you doing MMA when you're that clean on your stand-up? So, you know, you got to be careful with those guys.
Oh, you can't take it for granted. I mean, I think the best example of that was when we did the Glory Tournament in Tulsa last year, and the Road to Glory Tournament, the Eight Americans, and a last-minute replacement that was basically an MMA guy named Dustin Jacoby came in, beat Randy Blake, and won the whole tournament.
Yeah,
what people forget is if you're going to be a good MMA fighter, you've got to be a pretty good kickboxer. And there's a lot of those guys out there that have never done kickboxing but do it every day because it's part of being an MMA fighter.
Now,
but as the money gets better in Glory, you're going to see a lot of the better athletes and a lot of MMA guys choose that option.
Oh, I agree. I agree 100%. Now, Mr. Cook, you've got another heavyweight kickboxing match, Hayes Wilson and Birchfield. That's a pretty big fight, too, that should have a big impact on the crowd.
Well, it's at least 500 pounds in the cage at one time. So, yeah, it's going to be big. Both guys hit hard, and that'll be, you know, potentially the most entertaining fight of the night as both guys kind of swing through the fences, and they both have knockout power. And, Hayes has kind of been groomed as Randy Blake's understudy, and now he's trying to come out and make a statement on his own as to who he is, and you know he'd like a shot at Glory, and he's got to be able to deliver on Friday night to make that dream happen.
Yeah, I believe you. Don't you have two heavyweight kickboxing matches, or was the other one MMA?
The other one's MMA. The one Chris Alcorn and Kenny Friedenberg. That is an MMA fight. But those guys are. That's another match where there's more than 500 pounds in the cage. Both big guys.
Yeah, fans love to see the big boys go, and especially today, they're just so much more talented. It's not just, you know, two big boys coming in and just slugging until somebody's out of breath. I mean, we see much more talent. I mean, you just got to look at some of the biggest, you know, heavyweights in the world. You know, they're not all just fists anymore. Like we were talking about earlier, you got to be able to strike, but you got to have a well-rounded game these days in MMA. So this is exciting. Are you looking at doing more, even more building of the heavyweights in the MMA circuit in your area? Because we're not seeing a lot of heavyweight fights as pros out on the West Coast.
I understand. Now, you know, I think that the two divisions with the greatest potential, whether it's kickboxing or MMA, are heavyweights and women. And we try to focus a lot on both of those. You know, we did a show 3 weeks ago and had Jamie Ambush Jones from the USA versus Erin McDougal from Canada, and it was such an incredible, unbelievable fight. Both girls, they went toe-to-toe. Neither one of them ducked or blocked a punch. They took every one of them, and it was pretty exciting. It replayed on Cox tonight, and I think it's going to motivate people to, you know, even deeper to understand that women can do the sport.
Oh, you don't got to tell me. I mean, there are some of the women kickboxers and Thai fighters out there are just amazing to watch. Obviously, we haven't talked to you in a while, but you saw the Cyborg fight down at Lion Fights, I'm assuming, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I did.
How impressive was that to see somebody use their length on Cyborg's strength so clean and so just precise in the first round and two there?
That was such a great example of technique. I loved it. And, you know, I'm not against Cyborg. I thought it took a lot of courage on her part to step in there against such an experienced fighter in the kickboxing realm. But she believes in herself, and it certainly, in my opinion, didn't hurt her. Certainly, it's going to help her develop her stand-up for her MMA game. But I don't remember the girl's name that beat her, but she was incredible. I loved the way she fought. She was smart. And, again, you get to see that Dutch-style kickboxing dominate a bigger, stronger fighter.
And it's very true. So, something that, you know, we talk about with some of the younger kids about, you know, especially amateurs, I mean, you got to work on technique because, you know, whether you're in Brazilian jiu-jitsu or whether you're in a kickboxing fight, technique can lose you a fight quickly, but it can also win you a fight. You know, it's very important to have solid technique and solid skills and the basis behind them, especially when it comes to footwork. And because she did. She took a girl who was so much stronger than her and worked her, and it was beautifully done.
Good kickboxing. And, you know, Randy Blake over to Holland to train for 6 weeks not too long ago, and when he came back, we were like, you know, what did you learn? What did you do? And he would go, you know, it was like ABC. Mm-hmm. We did ABC every day, you know. You know, we developed those combinations and did it over and over and over and over and over again. It's not a magic bullet. It's mastering a handful of things. And in MMA, it's knowing when you can get away with a kick and when you can get away with a combination and not get taken down. In kickboxing, against an experienced pro, it's not having secret techniques he doesn't know. It's about setting up the ones you want to use in a proper way, and that means throwing combinations. And when you don't have to worry about someone taking you down, you can open up in a way that you just can't in an MMA fight. And for a guy like Tyrone Spong or Randy Blake, guys who do both sports, you know, you put them in an MMA match where they got to defend the takedown, and it limits their striking, and it limits the special techniques that they are able to do in the kickboxing realm that they can't get away with trying in the MMA world. But again, I love both sports, and that's why the show we have Friday night, Extreme Fight Night, that's the one brand I do that always features both sports. Every other brand I do, Rumble on the River, Rage on the River, et cetera, those are all straight MMA shows, but I'm pretty proud of Extreme Fight Night. It's my signature show, and we always have a big guest like Johnny Hendricks or Johnny Bones Jones or Randy Couture or Sugar Ray Leonard or Goldberg, or, you know, we brought everybody in here, and we're going to continue to do that, and I'm going to continue to build both sports.
Dale, which of the two main kickboxing styles are you more a fan of?
Say that again, sir?
Do you prefer the Dutch style of kickboxing or...
Well, I think the Dutch took Muay Thai as it's taught and fought in Thailand, and I think they added the westernized boxing style, and you mix those two together, and I think that's the supreme stand-up art. So, yeah, I'd say if you want to be the best stand-up fighter in the world, you've got to experience the Dutch style, because it's that perfect blend of Western boxing and Muay Thai from Thailand.
Interesting. I like that.
Now, see, I know I'm going to pronounce it wrong, but it's like Khan Kumar, which is a Cambodian style, I guess a Muay Thai, but it's more based on the striking with the knees and solid punching. It's not based on footwork as much as maybe Muay Thai is in Thailand. They're more about just devastating power with those. And it's funny when you see the differences in the different styles and how they relate to fighters in MMA. I have to agree, mixing the Muay Thai style of fighting with the Western boxing has definitely been beneficial for the sport and for the fighters who have been smart enough to go that route.
You're right. You're pretty adept at this game to discern the difference between the Cambodian style and the Thai style, because you're only talking about 10 miles, but a world of difference in how they approach the game.
Yeah, I would personally say Cambodia is more about power and devastating finishes, where Muay Thai in Thailand is more about technique and showing how precise you can be with your striking. To me, personally, watching the two leagues and in the two countries, I see that Thailand is much cleaner, much more technical, whereas in Cambodia, it's all about power and the finish.
Well, when you dip your hand wraps in glue and glass, it changes everything.
Well, see, for me, the two styles are the Cambodian is about violence, and Muay Thai is an art form. That's kind of how.
Well
I
said.
Yeah,
well said.
You know, it's such a blast, because we get to talk to a lot of great people, but we don't get to talk to very many people that are on your
Hold on,
level.
Skip. I have a fan question. I have a fan question here.
All right.
And this is exactly what it says. It says, Mr. Cook, what got you into fighting?
Oh, that's simple. I was 12 years old, and my family moved to a part of Tulsa where I was a different color than everybody else, and I was fighting every single day. And one day I saw a Bruce Lee movie, and I said, Mom. And I just kept on until she took me to class. I visualized myself, beating up five kids at once on the playground, and that never happened, but it absolutely changed my life.
I haven't looked back since.
What do you think about today's the kickboxing scene today in America? I know we've talked to you previously, but just in case there's new fans out there, what do you think about the growth that is going on today versus maybe the late 80s here?
Wow. You know, the late 80s, the sport had its shot. We were on ESPN. I was one of those guys fighting on ESPN and in the PKA days, and I really think they tried to sanitize the sport so much that it became lousy boxing. It became, for 90% of the guys, get your eight kicks in and box, because that's the way the rules were structured. You know, when the only place you can kick is above the waist, it's easy to predict those kicks. It's easy to see those coming and counter them with boxing. But when a guy can kick you in the leg, and when he can clinch you instead of box you and knee you, it makes it tough for a guy to just box and be good at that sport. And in America, we have always been, we've been programmed to measure fighting sports, all combat sports, against boxing. And we look at the PKA days, and God love them. I love Joe Corley and his vision. I was proud to be a part of that. But when the average Joe looked at it, he thought, Sugar Ray Leonard would beat all those guys. And he might have been right under those rules. If they would have brought international kickboxing, or if they would have brought something closer to Muay Thai here, people would have went, oh, my God, a boxer can't handle those leg kicks. Oh, my God, a boxer, he would be devastated by those knees. And I think the sport would have been accepted then on ESPN. But let's talk about today. Why is it coming on now? It's coming on for one reason. Pierre Adiron. Somebody stepped up and put $50 million on the table and said, I'm going to make Glory the UFC of kickboxing. And it took that kind of a commitment to get that sport on Spike TV, which is the channel that made UFC. And as soon as they come out with their reality series, I think you're going to see kickboxing explode.
Whoa, really? Now, see, I think with, you know, the more and more fighters, especially amateurs, especially because we talk to a lot of amateur fighters throughout the country, more and more of them are taking fights as amateurs and you know, doing kickboxing or Muay Thai fights. And we're starting to see a lot more of them say they enjoy it. It's funner. It's more challenging. You know, I'm hoping that if we continue to see the growth that we're seeing today, that it will be back on, you know, major networks, you know, on the weekends, you know. And there's no reason why it couldn't be. I think it's a much more exciting and challenging way to go in combat sports than MMA.
Well, it has the greatest chance it's ever going to have because, you know, we spoke about the 80s. The PKA was on ESPN, and it didn't quite catch on. But today, because of the success of UFC, the fan base for combat sports is so huge right now. And when I don't care how much you love UFC, when a UFC fan turns on a kickboxing match, he's going to like it. It has all the best stuff that UFC has without a lot of the downside, which is obviously when somebody lays and prays. It doesn't mean they're going to like it better than UFC, but a UFC fan will certainly appreciate and be entertained by watching two guys stand up and duke it out at a world-class level, and that's what Glory is presenting on every single show. Matter of fact, Randy Blake last week at Glory 15 in Istanbul was the only American on that show. It was full of the best fighters in the world from wherever they are, and UFC fans are going to love that. It doesn't mean they're going to quit watching UFC. It just means they're going to add Glory or kickboxing to you know, something that they love to watch and they find entertaining. And when they start crossoving, stars crossing over like Spong does, that's going to add even more excitement to the game.
Now, I'm a huge fan of Super Combat. I've been following him for some time.
Yeah,
the podcast,
yeah.
We're really big fans of this. As a fighter, would you have loved to have fought at Dracula's Castle like they just held that event 6 months ago or so there?
Absolutely. I would have loved that. I would have loved to travel to that country and, you know, done battle. But I'm so far removed from actual fighting, it's hard for me to even visualize. But yeah, if somebody would have came to me and said, we have a fight for you, you know, in Africa, and, you know, you guys are going to have clubs in one hand and shields in the other, I just said yes. I was that crazy, and I believed in myself. So I don't remember turning down too many fights in my day, but I think this is the best opportunity we've ever had, is the money that Glory's put up for kickboxing and then the success of the UFC. Combat sports is huge in America, and I think it's only going to get bigger.
I agree. Now, Dale, what upcoming UFC fight guests may you have in 2014 at XFN?
We'll do five shows this year. This will be our second one on Friday night for Extreme Fight Night. The other series that we do here in Tulsa is Rumble on the River, and we've went international with that. Now, each one of our Rumble on the River events is USA versus the world. We just did USA versus Brazil. We have USA versus Mexico coming up. We're doing a series of Extreme Fight Nights in Oklahoma City now at the new Grand Casino Event Center. It's a beautiful 3,000-seat venue. And we'll be there for the very first time on June 7th with Matt Hughes as our guest. And I think we're going to grow this thing. And, you know, I really don't have sights on going outside of Oklahoma, but who knows?
What are you guys going to consider doing the 8-man tournament now that you can do it there in Oklahoma?
Man, I don't know. I don't want to knock my friends that are doing that. I wish them the best, and I've known those guys forever. But they've made it very expensive to do that kind of a tournament, and the medicals that they're requiring. They just, you're gonna have to swing through the fences, and they're gonna do that. And I hope they do really good on June the 27th. But you know, I've done several tournaments that were 8-man one night tournaments. I've done it in MMA. I've done it for glory in kickboxing, and it's beautiful when the best fight of the night is the last fight of the night, and you get the two guys you want to see who've won their previous bouts in that main event. But that doesn't always happen. A lot of times, the guy who wins can't continue. Somebody else has to come in. And, you know, I'm not saying no, because I've done several of those. I'm not knocking those guys for trying it, because that would be hypocritical, because I've done it for the last 15 years. But I have found, my goal is this: please the fans. And I've found it hard to please the fans in an 8-man MMA tournament, because it's so seldom that both guys win their first fights and they meet in the final healthy and are able to deliver the kind of main event that we expect. And I think it might be a bit much to expect one fighter to deliver 9 5-minute rounds in one night. And that's what you have to do to win an 8-man MMA tournament.
I watched some of the ones that have been going down in France, and they've been doing 4 and 8-man over there lately, especially the last like 7 8 months. A lot of 4-man.
I like the 4-man a lot better.
It's super exciting. You know, they put on the last couple. It was the 4-man tournament, 3 super fights and 3 amateur fights. It was a perfect event, ran smoothly, super excited. You know, I liked it. I think 4-man is a perfect for a kickboxing one-night deal.
Well, I think that with the 4-man, you're able to fit that format in a 2-hour TV show. And that's, let's be honest, that's why Glory got away from the 8-man tournament and went to the 4-man tournament, because once they had the Spike TV deal, that's when the change happened. I just think you got a better shot at having a great main event when you do a 4-man tournament.
Yeah. Well, you know, with today's fighters coming up, you know, especially, you know, obviously we talked about, you know, two of the greats, but there's so many young ones coming up, like Maximo, and, you know, impressive young man. You obviously, Bukal is back in the mix of things again. I mean, what weight class as a fan do you prefer to watch? Because, like, I'm a fan of Stoica. I mean, I love his style. I love his weight class. I think, you know, that's an exciting class. You got power. You got speed.
He was in over his head this weekend, bro.
He was. But does it change the fact that I think he's a great fighter, and I think that, you know, he's still young. You know, he had a great run at New Heroes with Super Combat. He won the title there for the tournament. I think he stepped up in talent, definitely, going there this weekend. But I think he showed he's got what it takes. He can progress and get back there.
Do we lose?
I don't think when you compete at that level, even if you lose, I don't think you hurt yourself. But to answer your question, I right now,
okay.
We market kickboxing as a knockout sport, and the knockouts are in the heavyweights, and that's my favorite thing.
Well, you know, Dale, once again, we love having you on the show. You know, this is something that's going to happen for many years to come. Like always, any information you want to get out, any shout outs, anybody you want to thank you, anything you want to say, please take the time and run at it.
Well, I'd like to thank River Spirit Casino for hosting Rumble on the River every 3 months, and now hosting Extreme Fight Night this Friday night. They're getting ready to build a Margaritaville that'll seat a 3,000-seater, and we look forward to growing into that venue with them. And, you know, they've been pretty phenomenal to work with, and really got tired of playing Cowboys and Indians and the whole casino politics thing, and happy to have a home. So I give a big shout out to River Spirit here in Tulsa, soon to be Margaritaville. They've been
They've been great partners to work with, and I hope you guys get a chance to see our TV show on Cox Cable nationwide.
Well, Lepaki?
No, hey, I just want to thank you for coming on tonight. And if anybody needs VIP tables, they can get a hold of Megan Cooter on Facebook. And Mr. Cook, we really appreciate you joining us tonight.
I'm very honored. You guys are so much fun, and it's just great to have an opportunity to speak with you guys and share what I think I know. Thank you.
Dude, it's a blast. We still need to break down some of your acting roles when you come on one of these nights.
Oh, that would be fun.
Well, have a good night, brother. Thank you so much. All right. Once again.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you much. Bye-bye.
Everybody, the great, the legend, Dale Cook, thank you so much. Everybody, our last guest is nowhere to be found. So what we're going to do is thank everybody for joining us tonight. Eagle.
Osprey. Skippy, I'll talk to you in a bit.
Yep.
MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors, Draco Impact Armor, Intimidation Clothing, Valley Auto, All Out Fight Shop, Ink Tank Tattoo, Game Changer Clothing, Hyped Fight Store, Bushido.ca, GFL.tv, Rear Naked Smoke, Pro-Am Belts, Vision Smoke Shop, Big T's Nightclub, Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Triumph Fitness, Central Oregon Trike, Crossroader Clothing, and Jax Media.